Praise the Lord. This morning, would you turn with me to the book of Zechariah, the 13th chapter? Just one verse this morning that I feel to read. Well, probably many other verses, but just this one verse for the moment to start. Zechariah prophesies in this verse of the coming of Christ. And it says in the first verse, chapter 13, in that day there shall be a fountain opened to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness. This fountain pictures the cleansing from sin brought about by Christ's death on the cross. Because of his death and the sacrifice, we can be reconciled, forgiven, and reconciled back to the Father. The theme and the title of this message is forgiveness. And it thrills my soul this morning as I thought about this past week, how important forgiveness is. We all need forgiveness. The world needs forgiveness, and they don't realize it. They don't understand what's going on. You see, we talk about the original sin, and that terminology is not found in the scriptures. But over the centuries, I think theologians have used a theological shorthand to summarize a very important biblical truth is that we are all sinners, and we all have within us that tendency or inclination to do what is wrong. We weren't sinners by choice. We're sinners because our hearts were turned away from God. And Adam and Eve, it goes back to the garden. Adam and Eve were the first sinners. And their rebellion against God was the first sin, the original sin. And because of that sin, it has been passed down to all the rest of the generations. That rebellious spirit is within us, all of us. That original sin, the penalties of that sin. The scripture tells us, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God in Romans. And in Romans it also said, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. We hear people talk about, describing others or themselves, we're good people. And there's no one good. There's no one good. It's we're all sinners, saved by grace. Thank God. Thank God for his forgiveness. Praise God that he has supplied to us. And we say, Lord, thank you for the forgiveness that we find in Christ Jesus because of the blood of Jesus, because of his paying the price for your sin and my sin. It says in the fullness of time, Christ came. Everything pointed to when Christ came and died on the cross and became the perfect sacrifice, the only perfect one in this world. And because of his sacrifice, because he shed his blood, he paid that awful price, a price that it was impossible for us to pay, that God forgave, that God looked at that and sees us through the filter of the blood of Jesus. We have forgiveness in Christ. Remission of sins comes when we accept and open our hearts and surrender our lives to Jesus Christ. Not everybody realizes it or has that experience in maybe a more forceful way. I remember, and I've said this before, when I was praying for the Holy Ghost, born in the church, kind of knew the scriptures a little bit, not much, but you know, knew of this way, was raised in this way. We were much simpler life in those days. But that night in the prayer meeting, when I prayed and really got serious, because when we first prayer meeting I went to, I don't know if some of you maybe I had similar experience. It was something very new. I was just 13, 14 years old, 15 years old, whatever, and never seen a prayer meeting before. And people were crying out to God. It wasn't like, you know, in the church service, we have kind of more, I want to say organized, but there's more of an order here. People were just beginning to pray out because the Holy Spirit was moving. And people were crying out to God all over that basement at the old church. And I remember just being in the corner and by the water fountain, and I turned around and looked, and I was just kind of amazed and very shy and couldn't pray out like that. And I just hunkered down and just prayed quietly and softly. And before long, the Holy Spirit, after several weeks, the Holy Spirit began to touch my heart and began to get serious about why I was here in this prayer meeting. What was I seeking? I was seeking the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Didn't understand it all, but I knew I needed it. There was that confirmation and that conviction in my heart. This was something important, and I saw the testimony and the walk of the elders and the parents and the old timers in church, and I knew this was something that was very important and was preached and understood, that at least I sought it. And as I was seeking and began to cry out, I remember it, the Lord just caused me to begin to weep. And it was a weeping of just release, of joy, that it wasn't a sorrowful kind of weeping, but it was a weeping of joy that began to come over me. And a brother came around me and put his arm, he kneeled down by me and put his arm around me and began to pray over me. And I felt at that moment, I just felt as the Holy Spirit was moving, and I felt something being lifted off of my soul. I can't explain it other than it was like a weight that was taken off. It was receiving. And later on, as I understood the scriptures, I look back and say that was the receiving the remission of sins. Now, not everybody experiences it like that. It happens sometimes so quickly. And people get baptized with the Holy Ghost and don't even realize that that has taken place. But that's what the scriptures says happens in our lives. And it does. That the original sin was, the atonement for that sin was made as we yield our lives to Christ. As we say, Lord, save me. Lord, would you work in me? Lord, would you fill me with your Holy Ghost? Would you have your way in me? I want to follow you. I want to serve you. As simple as that. Don't have to get too technical about it. It's just, Lord, I just want to serve you. It's not the words you use. It's not the exact, you know, words. It's the feeling in the heart that you want to release to yourself to the Lord. And it wasn't long after that, a week or two, the Lord filled me with the Holy Ghost. But oh, what a joy, what a relief it was. And I look back at that and I say, Lord, thank you. Thank you that I was once a sinner. I didn't know that. I didn't know that before. It came by revelation that I needed saving, and there was forgiveness in Christ. That is the beautiful thing about this salvation we have. There's forgiveness in Christ. No matter what you've done or where you've been or how you've behaved, there is forgiveness in Christ. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. There are many things that I look back, I'd like to tear out the pages of my life and say, oh, I wish I hadn't done that. I wish I hadn't behaved in that way. But I thank God for forgiveness. Praise the Lord that I can go to Him in confidence, knowing that He is just. Praise God. In Ephesians, we read, let me go to Psalms first. It says, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, And in sin did my mother conceive me. That has to come by revelation because most people think they're okay. I look at Paul on the way to Damascus. He wasn't looking for God. He was persecuting the church. He was trying to wipe out the Christians, those that followed Christ. He thought he was okay. He had the papers in his hand. You read Philippians, the third chapter. He says, I was a Hebrew of the Hebrews, a Pharisee, a doctor of the law. I had the wherewithal, and I was revered, and I thought I had it right, and he was all wrong. He wasn't looking for God, but God was looking for him, praise God. And God's been looking for you and for me. Well, what about those who are born in the church? Well, let's go back a generation, and we know maybe two generations, and we go back and see somehow God brought the parents or the grandparents or the great-grandparents or somebody witnessed to you, or you met somebody at school, or you fell in love with somebody that knew the Lord and brought you to the fullness. Was that a coincidence? No, it was God's plan. Praise the Lord and God's mercy and God's love. And we found in him the forgiveness. Praise God. Paul writes to Ephesians, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, oh, praise the Lord, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. Oh, praise God. Aren't you glad for that? Once we were lost and undone. Without God or his son, the song chorus says, but he reached down his hand for me. And he reached down his hand for you. And you know what I find in this life? I need forgiveness every day. I need forgiveness every day. Even for the little things, the Lord gives us a sensitivity. The closer we try and draw to God, he gives us a sensitivity for that sin. And for our behavior and for our thoughts or for our lack of doing his will, he causes us to just reach out to him. And it is so reassuring and comforting that we can call on Jesus. You know, I think a lot of folks asking for forgiveness is really difficult for all of us. Just in life, asking for forgiveness, please forgive me. You first have to acknowledge that you were wrong or you did something. And what precedes forgiveness? Conviction. Conviction is a good thing. Conviction is a good thing. When God catches up with us, wherever it is, it might be in our room and in school or at work, or somehow the Holy Spirit begins to manifest and just catches up with us, and we feel so undone, and we feel that the conviction of the Spirit, and it's not a condemning spirit, a passing judgment. It's conviction. You did wrong. You shouldn't have said that. You shouldn't have those thoughts. You shouldn't hold that grudge. You need to let it go. You need to release it. And it's that presence of the Holy Spirit that begins to work in us. And we acknowledge, and we ask the Lord for forgiveness. It takes humility to ask the Lord for forgiveness. Because we go through that thought process. We go through that experience of conviction and acknowledging and admitting, Lord, please forgive me. And you know what's so beautiful is that we can go to God in such a way as a heavenly Father that you can trust ultimately with everything. And you can trust him with your confession. You can go before him and say, Lord, here it is. And I find when I'm open and honest with the Lord, when I really lay it out before him, when I examine myself through the eyes of the Holy Spirit and say, Lord, I let you down today. Lord, I didn't handle this right. I really displeased you. I know I did. A lot of times we try to make excuses and we try to cover it and say, well, you know, we don't even want to confess it. We don't want to address it. We don't get to the core of the problem. What's the problem? What's the problem with mankind? It's sin. It's sin. Sin causes us to behave in a certain way. And admitting that, examining ourselves takes humility and it takes courage. Say, Lord, here I am. Here's how I am. That's why people shy away from it. I've heard people say, I don't like conviction. I don't want to be convicted. I don't want to feel bad. No, sometimes it's good to feel bad. It's good to recognize, look, the Lord is showing us because he loves us and cares for us. He's speaking to our hearts, praise God, and wants us to see what he sees. And why does he do such a thing? Because he loves us, because he wants to see our blessing, our being blessed. Oh, Lord, help us this morning. John writes in his epistle, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The previous verse says, if we say we have no sin, we make him a liar and the truth is not in us. Do we look at ourselves under the microscope sometimes, or do we gloss over it? We see the faults of others and the failures of others so easily. But our own faults and our own failures sometimes, we kind of ignore, we make excuses for. And that's not how the Lord wants us to deal with him. And he wants to deal with us. He wants us to be open and honest. Because there is forgiveness with the Lord. Praise God. Sometimes we look at our past and we struggle. And you see, that's what the enemy wants. He wants you to look inward. He wants to look at your faults and your failures. He wants to look at your trying to serve God. Well, I'm going to try harder tomorrow. I'm not going to let this happen again. I'm not going to let that temper get a hold of me again. I'm going to overcome. I'm not going to use those four-letter words. No, I'm going to stop it. I'm going to try harder. It's not trying harder. It's the Holy Spirit allowing the Spirit of God to work in us, to be open and honest, to draw closer to him, that the Spirit of God has more dominion over us. We talk about the old nature, the carnal man. And Paul writes about it in Romans so much. The carnal man doesn't want any restrictions, is not subject to the will of God. It takes the Spirit of God to overcome and subdue the flesh, the carnal man. And before the Holy Spirit comes, before the Holy Spirit lives in us, we have no choice. We're living in this carnal nature. But God says, I want to send you another helper, one called alongside to help. I'm going to send you the Comforter who will abide with you forever, the Comforter who will help you overcome, the Comforter who will strengthen you, who will cause you to live the life. Praise God. A lot of folks get accused of, well, we preach the necessity of the baptism of the Holy Ghost because it's necessary for heaven. And it is. That's not the most important thing, in my opinion. It's living the life. We got to live the life, praise God. It's not we get the label and then we're good for life. No, we get the label. It's not a label. We get the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and it's the power in our lives to help us overcome and walk and live the Christian life. Because He purifies us. He sanctifies us. He helps us overcome the faults and the failures, the weaknesses that we endure. We say, Lord, help me, strengthen me for tomorrow. Give me wisdom. Give me discernment. Give me strength to say no. Help me, Lord. Oh, praise God. What a beautiful thing. See, I know you can't live the life on your own. I know you'll fail in your humanity. I know you don't have the strength. I didn't try and fix your old nature. Your old nature can't be fixed. It's corrupted. I'm giving you a new nature, a new creature in Christ Jesus, a new man, a new woman, praise God, that you can be different, that you can stand for Christ, that you can live the life and be a testimony for His goodness. Praise the Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Praise God. All because of forgiveness. Forgiveness. Oh, praise God. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It starts out, if we confess our sins. And that's the key, is confession. Because we can trust Jesus. We can trust Him to reveal our innermost secrets, our innermost thoughts. May not even reveal them to our spouse or our family or whoever, but we can reveal them to Him. And trust Him that He looks at us with eyes of love. We sing that chorus, where would I be? Where would I be? You only see through eyes of love a hopeless case, an empty place without grace. Oh Lord, thank you for your mercy and your grace. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for that forgiveness that we find in Christ Jesus. Some folks get discouraged because of their lifestyle, their lives. And they look at the past and say, I don't think I can live up to it. I don't think I can do it. And you read Paul's in the 7th chapter of Romans, he says, the things I don't want to do, I do. And the things I want to do, I don't do. Did he struggle with the flesh? Yes, he did. Did he have those same battles you and I have? Yes, he did. But who delivered him? He looked at Jesus. Thanks be to God, to Jesus Christ who gives me the victory. Praise God. It's looking to Him. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord, for that forgiveness. And you know what the Word of God calls us is to forgive others. Forgive others. You know, that's a real key, because sometimes that holds us back as we harbor feelings. People did us wrong. And it's hard to forgive. Why is that? You know why? Because we want to see them punished. We want to see them punished. That's part of it. Well, they never asked for forgiveness. They never asked. They just did me dirty. They hurt my feelings. They said things that weren't true and never asked for. They know it wasn't true. And they never asked for forgiveness. What does that mean? Well, Peter asked Jesus, how many times should I forgive my brother? 7 times? He says, no, 70 times 7. Like if your brother asks for forgiveness, you should forgive him. Well, what if they don't ask for forgiveness? We should forgive them anyway. Because you can't hold that. You can't hold those feelings and be right before the Lord. You got to let it go. You got to say, Lord, I forgive them. Whether they ask for forgiveness or not, I forgive them. And you know why we can say that? Because of the love of God that is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. It's not that I want to see someone punished. I want to see someone own up or pay the price. No, Lord, you deal with them. You know how to deal perfectly with them because I was there at times, maybe. Maybe I hurt someone's feelings or maybe I did something that wasn't right. And you know, God deals with us in such a beautiful way. In such a beautiful way. He knows how to convict us. He knows how to bring us to the foot of the cross and to confess our sins. Praise God. I love what Paul writes to Ephesians and Colossians. In Ephesians, he says, the 4th chapter, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. You know, we tend to look at ourselves as, that sin wasn't so bad as what so-and-so did to me. That's not right. Sin is sin. In Colossians, he writes, forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. You see, the enemy wants us to hold on to that hurt and hold on to those feelings. Because why? Because it brings disunity in the body of Christ. It brings disunity. And where there is disunity, the Spirit can't work. And the Spirit wants to work. The Holy Spirit wants to be free. But we got to put everything on the altar and say, Lord, help me. Help me to forgive my brother and sister, oh God. Help me, Lord, to live in you. Help me to pray for them. It says, I believe it's in James, it says, if any man be caught in a fault, let you that are spiritual restore him or her in the spirit of meekness, gentleness. Lord, help us to have that kind of approach. And think about what God forgave you. Think about the times, and maybe painful, but think about the times you disobeyed, and the times you were going in your own direction, or the times that you just live in your life. I don't want to hear about God. I'm going to do my thing. Or the times we knew we were sinning and we did it anyway. The times we knew this wasn't right, the scriptures, the teachings, we knew we weren't right, but we did it anyway. And God forgave us. God forgave us. God forgave us. Isn't that wonderful this morning? Lord, thank you. Praise God. Oh, we're all a work in progress. We're all flawed. But thank God for the Holy Spirit. Thank God for his precious blood. Thank God for forgiveness that he is with us. Praise God. wants to draw us closer to him. Thank you, Lord, for forgiveness every day. Praise the Lord that we can confess our faults and our failures. I'm going to close right here. Brother and sister, would you come forward? Our sisters, would you come forward? In that day, there shall be a fountain open to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness. I'm so glad we saw that fountain in our day. Amen. That Jesus Christ came. And because of his sacrifice and the shed blood, you and I can be forgiven. Oh, praise the Lord. Lord, help us. Help us this morning to humble ourselves. Draw closer to you, Lord, to examine our hearts and say, Lord, help me. Thank you for the forgiveness. Thank you for where I am in Christ now. I'm not where I need to be. I'm not where I should be yet, but I'm pressing for that kingdom. May the Lord encourage you this morning. May his name be praised. Amen. Do we have a song?